Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Bossy Huntalis, your host for Dreaming Big, Leading Boldly. Our topic today is dreaming up big impact with small change. And I'm delighted to introduce our guest today, Lena Padigar, who's CEO of CoinUp, which is a mobile donation app. Good morning, Lena.
Good morning, Vasi. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really looking forward to talking with you more today. And to our audience, I just want to share that little background of Lena. She has an extensive background in consulting and entrepreneurship, and she's conducted financial in-depth analysis for not only Fortune 500 companies, but also privately held companies as well, providing CFO services. And then in 2015, she launched CoinUp. So Lena, tell us a little bit about the vision of CoinUp and more about what it is.
Thank you, Vasi. First of all, thank you for having me on the show. It's great to be able to share our story with everyone. So CoinUp is basically a mobile donation app, and it came about in 2014 when we first came up with the idea. Sorry, 2015 when we first came up with the idea. It was basically realizing that there was a gap in the system of how, as we become a cashless society, how are we going to keep supporting nonprofits with our spare change? In the past, you know, March of Dimes, Salvation Army, UNICEF, and several other organizations had used spare change as a catalyst to support their nonprofits. And it was great because people never really felt like they were missing anything by donating in that way. But before you knew it, you know, organizations like Ronald McDonald House had $30 million in spare change in just the U.S. alone in 1 year. Even today, that's still the case. So as we sort of go cashless, I never have cash on me. I felt really bad yesterday. I had to tip somebody and I didn't have any cash. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's really becoming the norm. And I think other countries like Europe are already there, you know, Asia as well.
Yeah,
where they're doing everything cashless. So it was kind of like, well, how are these nonprofits going to keep surviving? And I had a passion for nonprofits for a long time, or actually, I should say, I had a profit for taking care of children for a long time. I was like, one day I really want to do something where I can protect the vulnerable and, you know, get them either food or education or medical help, especially when they just have no resources. You know, small children, especially in India, when we'd go visit, would be on the street, you know, just babies, and they had no choice and they had no resources and they had nowhere to turn. And I couldn't stand it, you know. So I was like, how are we going to fill these gaps and what can we do? There's already so many nonprofits out there. Starting one more nonprofit, I didn't feel like was going to be the best impact I could make. So I was able to kind of pull together, you know, it was a combination of ideas that came together. Basically, you know, I've been an entrepreneur for a long time, so starting businesses is something I love doing, especially when they're innovative. I also saw that there was like the grocery stores who are rounding up, you know, your transactions at the end of your, when you're checking out, or give a dollar to the local children's hospital or something like that. I was like, oh, that's really great. And they've raised millions of dollars, but it's really, you know, the customer's giving to the grocery stores and the grocery store is giving to the nonprofit. There's still not that direct connection and that direct impact, you know, going back to the customers or the actual donors. So I was like, oh, well, you know, why don't we create an app? And I started looking, there was no app on the Apple Store that actually allowed people to give direct donations to a charity of their choice. I was like, wow, well, there's a gap. Let me fill that one. So we set out to build this app. And I had no idea about mobile apps. It was like the furthest thing from anything I'd ever done before. But I was excited. Like I just had this idea started coming together. The people started coming together, the team, and we built this out. And every time we hit an obstacle, we would find a way. You know, that's one thing that I'm really good at. I can really, you know, find other ways to do things. Either I use a parallel type of industry or a parallel type of company to figure out how they're doing things, so I can try to emulate the best practices from all these different companies and put together something, you know, really with a good foundation. So anyway, it took about a year. We built CoinUp and we got it out to Apple, and Apple's like, oh, sorry, we don't accept donation apps. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I realized we're 7 years of history of Apple not accepting donation apps. And I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And I can't believe we spent all this time and, you know, all these resources to do this. And then I thought, you know what? There is going to be a donation app one day. Why can't we be the first ones? So I said, listen, Apple, what's the problem?
Oh, Lisa, sorry. I'm going to pause you right there. Wow, right there. I just want to punctuate that. Because, you know, here you are talking about innovation for social good, and you're talking to one of the most innovative companies on the planet, and you didn't let that stop you. And, you know, I think our listeners, you know, would love to hear like a little bit behind that where you said, that's not going to happen. So what was going on for you that gave you the courage to really keep going when you heard that Apple doesn't take donation apps?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think I felt like I had nothing to lose, right? Mm-hmm. I'd already come this far. We had something that was really, that made sense and that was working, and why not? You know, I had a very strong background in developing companies, in strong compliance background, because I've worked in the financial services and the healthcare industries. So I knew I could figure that out. And then the third thing was, I'm like, I went to MIT Sloan. Like, that's the place where so many things have been created and developed and innovative. Like, you know,
yeah.
If not me, then who else? Like, who else with a stronger background is going to do something like this? Why not me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. That was really the question I came back to. Why not me?
Mm, love that question. Yeah,
because what do you have to lose sometimes? You know, like, okay, well, I'll go do something else, but I think it'll always bother me. Like, why didn't I push?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that gave you the fire, is what I'm hearing, to continue with Apple. And so then what happened with Apple?
It really was a fire. And so usually in the case of Apple, it takes about 1 week to get an app approved in most cases. I just pushed back at Apple for about 3 months. I talked to all the different areas, you know, the boards of that were involved, compliance, legal, policy, the tech side. We kind of talked to all the different groups and said, you know, what is the issue here? And they would tell us, and I worked through it. I talked to them. I showed them how we had the best practice. And they basically said, no one's ever come to us with, you know, the ideas that you've had in putting this together. And we're going to approve you as a first donation app. I mean, it was a big moment for us.
Yay!
It was
plus
a big moment.
The door, plus you opened the door for other donation apps, right?
Yeah, there's several now. There definitely is several. And there were other apps, too, that were indirectly, you know, doing creating donations. So an app like Charity Miles, where you can go running or biking or whatever and log in the number of miles that you did that day, and then a corporation would donate, a relative amount of cash or whatever, you know, a dollar for every mile that you ran or something to the charity of your choice. Mm-hmm. So those were all great apps. There's 2 million users on Charity Miles. That's great. But how about when the users get to, you know, support directly the charities that they care about? That's really the plan that we were after, the vision we were after. So ultimately, so we were approved, and we spent the first year really getting our tech and our operations right, you know, ready to scale. The second year, we just went after the nonprofits. We said, you know, before users come on board, we want to make sure that they have a great deal of nonprofits to choose from, different types, different cities, different categories of causes, you know, whether it's veterans, supporting veterans or the homeless or children. And we now have over almost 300 charities on board.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounds like a wide diversity of charities as well.
Yeah, I think that's important. It's important for the users to feel like they're coming in and choosing something they care about, because, you know, otherwise we're not going to capture those users, right? If they get onto the app and there's only 10 charities, they're not in the areas that, you know, the user feels passionate about, we're going to miss out on those users. So that was important to us. On another note, I really want to make a point of this, that we vet all of our charities. So we kind of go through a compliance standard for every organization that registers with us, and we make sure that they meet certain requirements. So when they're on the app, you know, we want all users to feel like they're choosing from a gold standard of charities, that they don't have to worry that the charities are being run inefficiently, or they haven't been around very long, or that, you know, that the money is going to the wrong place. We really try to create the best of the best on our app so that both the donors feel good about it, but also nonprofits feel good being part of this community.
Great. And what sort of things do you look at when you vet a nonprofit?
We look at a variety of things. It's probably what we spend the most time on. And we're not really, at the end of the day, responsible for what the charities do or don't do, but we do the best we can to make sure that they're mm-hmm. running pretty efficiently. But we make sure they've been around for a couple of years. We make sure a certain amount of the donations they receive are going towards the programs and not being, you know, sent to salaries or, you know, miscellaneous type of things. We make sure they're using their funding well, and that they have a good board on, you know, behind them to, you know, be good stewards of the organization. So there's a few things that we do to make sure.
That sounds wonderful. And if a nonprofit wants to sign up for, you know, and be on one of the nonprofit on CoinUp, how can they do that?
Oh, yes, that's important. Well, Lassie, if you or anyone you know or anyone might be listening wants to sign up their nonprofit, it's pretty simple. You just go to the CoinUp website, which is coinupapp.com. And so it's CoinUpApp.com. And when you go to the website, you know, it'll definitely explain more about CoinUp. But the nonprofits just click on the For Nonprofit tab. And when they get in there, they can see, you know, we worked really hard to make sure we explained exactly how the process works. And they can just register there. And there's no charge for a nonprofit to join us. They just sign up with us. We review their application and then send them kind of an activation email, you know, finally review, mm-hmm. sign off, mm-hmm. and then they go live. I mean, the whole process can take like 10 or 15 minutes, really, for them to go live.
Pretty easy. That sounds so simple. Yeah, that's definitely easy. And what are you hearing from the donors, from their experience using CoinUp?
That's good, too. Yeah, you know, we do. We spend a lot of time asking the donors, like, how they feel. Was it difficult to sign up? Are they feeling the reward? Are they excited about what they do? And what we get is the donors really forget about it. They said it once, and they forget about it. But every month, they're getting a little snapshot from their charity that says, thank you so much for your $10. We were able to provide 10 immunizations or 10 meals or 10 days of care for the elderly or whatever it might be. And people love getting those messages. And so they're like, wow, I didn't even feel it. I didn't even notice. It was like, you know, a cost of a lunch or a cup of coffee or whatever each month. But I'm not even noticing the spare change going there. But look, I'm doing something great, and it actually is measurable. So you get a monthly impact report. At the end of the year, we also send out tax donation reports to every donor so they can use that for their tax planning.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, because people then really get a sense of both the impact from a quantitative perspective, but also, gosh, look at what I got to contribute to, you know?
Yeah, you get that something they care about.
Feeling in a difference. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, so every time you use your credit card, you're basically, you know, it's an act of kindness. That's kind of what we're getting down to.
I like that, an act of kindness. Yeah. So is there anything else related to the journey? Because, you know, a lot of times we see the end result and we go, oh, that's such a great, you know, venture or, you know, idea or innovation. But we don't often see the bumps and ups and downs, you know, in the course of creating
right.
that. So is there anything that you'd want to share around some bumps and some maybe, you know, you said things came together, you know, maybe an example of when there was a bump in the road and then somehow it came together.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and sometimes when you do overcome those challenges, you realize you're on the right path and you have to keep going. There's just no choice because the answers and the solutions have been so great. And, you know, we're so grateful when those things happen. But basically, when we were getting to a point where we were thinking, gosh, we need to do social media and we don't really have experience with social media. That's a huge challenge for us. And, you know, but that's how we're going to build awareness for our app. And that's where we are going to get our, you know, typical demographic, our audience. So how do we go about that? And, you know, we start realizing there's all these great companies out there. There's all these great advisors out there. I mean, we have the internet. There's just so many great opportunities to find answers. And if you have great networks, and even if you don't have a great network, just talking to one or two people, and they send you to one or two more people, and so on and so forth, and you ultimately end up having a great network of people that you can contact for any issue you run into, you know, whether it's a technical issue or a resource issue or a even just a strategy or thoughtful question you might have about your direction. There's just so many wonderful people out there, you know, through your LinkedIn networks or through events that we've gone to and met amazing people that have come through for us. Specifically, I remember we were getting ready to do videos for CoinUp on social media, right? Because videos are open six times more or observed six times more than just a static post. So our VP of marketing, who's Judy Stillman, she's got an incredible background with video production for Warner Brothers and, you know, several other, you know, large companies in LA. And I'm like, okay, Judy, we need to create videos and you're the video guru. So what do we do? She's like, well, we need $25,000 to build a video. I was like, Judy, we don't have $25,000 to build a video. So let's find another way. And, you know, we were just really kind of stuck for a moment there. And you wouldn't believe it, Vasi, that someone emailed us, and this wonderful guy named Brian emailed us and said, hey, I created this video for a video contest, and, you know, the contest is over, but the video is about a donation app. And he goes, I didn't really know you guys existed. He goes, I just came up with this idea because my bank rounds up and takes a spare change and puts it into a savings account. He's like, so I thought, well, what would it be cool if bank, you know, our bank rounded up and gave to a charity? And he's like, so the contest is over. I've made this great video. I was just wondering if you wanted to buy it from me. And, you know, you don't know how many, like, kind of spam emails we get a day, all kinds of spam emails. I'm like, yeah, uh-huh. Whatever. And Judy was like, no, I think this guy's for real. Let's check out this video. And it was, like, the most beautiful video that captured the essence of what we're trying to do. And this guy came out of nowhere. He, like, literally emailed our customer service email, you know, just our just general email box, and we couldn't believe it. And so he was kind enough to work with us and edit it and get it set up. And so we'll be releasing that video in the next month or so to get it out there and share with everybody else and just really the emotion and the impact that you create by using CoinUp. And it was really special. Like, so, you know, the point is, getting back to your question, it's so amazing when you get stuck sometimes that the universe kind of brings you these answers somehow. You know, you just have to keep your eyes open and wait, and I don't know, just it comes together. And it's an amazing thing when it does.
What I love about that story is it just there was such synchronicity and timing in that, you know, and it was a gift for him to be able to probably see this video go out. And it really was a gift to be able for, you know, to get the word out even bigger.
No, I was just going to say, you know, maybe those opportunities that come to us 6 months earlier or a year earlier, but we didn't even notice them. It's like sometimes you know, when you know you need the next step and you're looking for the right solution for something, you just have to kind of look around and there are answers. Even though they might have been there before, you may not have needed it at that time. So it's great that to know that when you need the answers, they will come. Or you will find them, you know, whether it's active or passive. Yeah.
And I would imagine having had that experience, and you're just sharing with us one experience. It sounds like there's many more experiences like that. Is that you learn to trust them and be patient, right? And have faith.
Oh my
like
gosh.
Somehow we're going to come up with a solution.
That's exactly right. It's so much a part of it. And especially when you're doing something innovative, you know, it hasn't been done before. So you have to find those answers, and, you know, whether you're looking within, you're looking to your team, you're strategizing, you're talking to people in other industries who've done something similar, it's really an amazing thing. It's powerful.
Yeah, and I'm hearing a couple of things. I'm going to kind of cue these up as best practices because
yeah.
that's really what I'm hearing from you. And one of them is this idea of investing other people in the vision, because I really hear you're out talking to other people during this time and building support and community around your vision. Does that capture it?
That it was very well said, better than I could have said it. No, it's so important. And, you know, the thing is, I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I have developed great networks, especially in San Diego for this. And it's a two-way street, right? Sometimes they need something that's more financial or strategy or operational, and I can really give them the advice or mentor someone and helping them build their business. And sometimes they're helping me with marketing or social media or something that I don't understand. And it's just, it's really great to be able to have kind of a peers around you so you can share ideas, peers in all kinds of, you know, areas.
Yeah.
Which is really lucky.
That's great. Awesome.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I heard from what you were saying is really being so intentional and not seeing yourself as the solution, too. You know, it's like, okay, this is the vision we have. We're going to be intentional about creating it. And I love what you said, why not me? It's like,
yeah,
this is, you were so solid in bringing this forth and holding that no matter what came to you. And so that question, I love it. Why not me? Like, where did that
yeah.
come from? Can you trace back, like, where that got seasoned in a sense?
We're going deep here, Vasi. We're going really
yeah.
deep. I think, you know, I haven't actually really fleshed that out or thought about it very much, but just, you know, you're asking me right now, and off the cuff, I'm thinking, you know, since I was young, I really had to figure out a lot of things on my own because my parents were immigrants from India and they couldn't give me all my answers and solutions for the business world. You know, they were doing things that were like, my dad was a physician, my mom was a housewife, and I had to figure out everything out myself as the eldest child of my family. And then of
mm-hmm.
course, you know, I led my brothers, but when you have no one else to kind of pull you forward, you have to do it yourself and you have to figure, you know, I had to figure out how to get to college. I had to figure out how to get my first job. I had to figure out how to, you know, create a network or any of that. So maybe it's just been something that's been built, you know, built in through my environment over, you know, the last many, many years.
yeah.
That's one thing. But I've also been innovative before. So when I was a consultant for Ernst & Young, we created one of the first internet banking products that ever existed. So basically, you know, there was a bank that said, hey, we need to do internet banking. And this was 1996. And so they said, you know, will you create our online banking system for us? And at the time, I was tasked with creating the screens that, you know, a user would go through. So basically what's today known as UI UX was something that I created back then, not, you know, not really knowing it, of course. And there was no graphic design. It was all blue screens with white boxes that said, you know, enter your name, mm-hmm. enter your address or whatever. And so I had to go through that process and create these screens. And as we were doing this, I was like, this is crazy. No one's going to do their banking online. Like, who would do that? Their money's going to get taken and hacked into, and this is not happening. But we built it, and they used it, and they're still using it. And it's amazing to see something that we created that long ago come to life. And then full circle, as we were creating CoinUp, I mean, so much of what we did was UI UX. And all of that kind of experience or the I guess the thought process of, wow, I did that in 1996 and here we are. How many years later, you know, 30 years later doing this again? Like crazy.
Yeah. So yeah,
actually
really
it's exactly 20 years later we created that. We created CoinUp and, you know, having kind of same process of going through those screens and what does the user think about? What is the user's next step? Where's the user going to get stuck? Like, you know, it was the same process.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's also this, not only what was forced when you were young, that self-reliance, which a lot of entrepreneurs have. It's that independence, that self-reliance. And it's also
sure.
your track record for innovation. So like reminding yourself, you know, of some things that you've done in the past. And I think we all have that. And that's something for people to remember when you have this big vision is, you know, how do you keep that fire going? How do you keep your courage, you know, and faith, because there will be some ups and downs. So I loved what you shared with us because I think that those are good reminders for us as well. you know, as these.
Yeah, and I think that applies personally as well, right? We get stuck even in our personal lives. So it's a lot of the same thing, networks and advisors, you know, people who've been through the same thing, who've been there before you, so guiding you. So I think that's definitely important.
Yes, absolutely. It's balancing that strong self-reliance with the support and the, the support for that too.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what else. We actually, going back to that video example, even after we did that, I met someone else through a friend of a friend. And, you know, his name is Carlo, and Carlo is an expert video producer. You know, I mean, that's what he does every day for major, you know, companies. You know, I don't want to go into it, but he does video production for major companies out there. Like, he comes to LA and he has big production studios, and he, you know, creates videos that we see every day on Facebook and Instagram and everything. Like, those are his videos. And he became an advisor for us. And I'm so grateful for someone like that, because he really has the expertise and he sees our vision with us. And for him to give us his time to talk us through video strategy, right? Because even when you get the videos created for you, how do you roll that out? What is the right message, you know, all of those things. Like, you still need someone who can build that strategy with you. And then, you know, I found this person just randomly when I was on vacation who was like, oh, yeah, I would love to help you with that. And he's so passionate about what we do. And, you know, when people like that come together, you just, like when you're saying get stuck, you know, that's how you get unstuck, right? You get someone bigger than you, bigger at mentoring, bigger at experience, bigger, you know, at the vision, and they help get you aligned with that, you know, because I couldn't see it on my own. So when you start sharing that with me and like how to think about it, it's like, okay, I get it. And then I bring together my knowledge of CoinUp, my experience in being innovative with his ideas on how to roll up the video, and then it becomes something. You know, it becomes what we
Well,
it
really
becomes.
A band. Yeah, like you said, I love what you said about alignment too. Yeah. Leah, I just want to give you a chance to share with, you know, if the listeners want to reach you after our show, I know you've given out the website, but if the listeners want to reach you after our show, how would you like them to contact you? Do you prefer the website, email, whatever?
Sure. I mean, they can get a hold of me through my email, which is Leena, L-E-E-N-A, at coinupapp.com. So that's coinupapp.com. Leena at coinupapp. So that's how they can get a hold of me. And if they want to sign up for the app, again, they can go to our website or they can download it from Apple or Google. And it's coinupapp. It's three separate words. So when they look that up, they do a search on the App Store or on Google Play. It's just coinupapp. And they can download the app and, you know, set up an account, choose a charity of their choice. And I also want to be clear that there, you set a limit. So users never have to feel like we'll go over their limit on a monthly basis. So, you know, they can set a limit of $20, $25, whatever they're comfortable with a month, and we'll only round up the spare change to that amount and then charge at the end of the month.
Great. Thank you for explaining that. And for our listeners, if you didn't catch the contact details, don't worry, because we'll have that information listed in our show notes after the show. So, Leena, we just have a couple more minutes. Wow, the time has flown. And I just wanted to see what you would like to leave our listeners with in terms of maybe a tip or an inspiration before we sign off.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I also agree with you, like, just saying why not me, and not getting discouraged by reaching out to people around you. It's important. And being passionate and excited, when you have that motivation, like, nothing's really going to stop you.
Nothing's going to stop you. Right. It's like believing
when you
in
believe
yourself
in it so
and
much.
Believing
yeah.
in the vision. Right. It's both.
Yeah.
Right. Are you saying?
And then when you start doubting yourself, there's people around you who will come through for you.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
And, so it's been so great to have you on. And I also just wanted to give you a chance. I know you had mentioned that you participated in a social impact lab last year. And did you want to say anything like that? We just have a little bit of time here, maybe a minute.
Well, it's amazing to see so many companies come together and want to do good, you know, and we have we all have that shared vision. We want to do good. We want to combine business and entrepreneurship and our kind of careers with building something that is also socially impactful. And that's really motivating and inspiring to see that come together. And then the other thing is, like, CoinUp is really a volume game, right? So we want lots and lots of people to join and make a difference. I mean, if we can get 1,000 people to donate $10 a month to their charity, or $20 a month, which is our average a month per charity, that's $2 million a month going, sorry, if we're talking about 100,000 people, so 1,000 people, let's talk about 1,000 people donating $20 a month, that's $20,000 a month going to a charity of their choice. And that's an amazing amount of donations for any charity to be creating that kind of ongoing revenue a month. This is really a volume game, so it means us all coming together to support the charity so they can spend their time not fundraising but actually executing on the missions. And that's really important, and a really important aspect of what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, it's that ripple effect, right? It's like, how can you make that impact by rippling out? Yeah,
yes,
so we're going to leave our listeners today with that image of how can you make that impact? How can you ripple out with your vision and make the biggest impact you can? Any last words, Lena, before we sign off?
No, just thank you very much for having us on your show today.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. And that's our show for today. And I'd like to say thank you to Lena Patidar for being our leading lady. And a special thanks to all of our listeners, both in the United States and internationally. And we'll be back again for another Women Lead radio show Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific and Fridays at 2 p.m. This is Vasi Huntalis, your host of Dreaming Big, Leading Boldly. Remember to stay true to you and your dream by asking yourself this important question: what's the next bold step I can take to move my vision forward? Be the bold leader you were born to be and go for it.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.